This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Cincinnati Edition is going to be taking a break next week as we air a series of special programs, and will return Monday, December 2nd at its new time, 1 o'clock. So starting in December, Cincinnati Edition is going to air each weekday afternoon at 1. It'll be followed Monday through Thursday by Here and Now, and Science Friday will continue at its regular time, 2 until 4 on Fridays. Cincinnati recently hosted a forum that looked at what's in the future of urban life. It was called Future Cities, Livable Cities. And joining me to talk about designing livable cities are the symposium's organizers. Adrian Parr is the chair of Taft faculty and director of the Charles Phelps Taft Research Center. She's also an associate professor in the Department of Sociology and the School of Architecture and Interior Design at UC. Also joining us, Michael Zaretsky, associate professor in the School of Architecture and Interior Design at UC. And you can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Adrian, talk about why you decided to hold a symposium on livable cities.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
You're very welcome.
Really appreciate it. So you can tell from my accent, probably, the listeners can. I'm an Australian, and I moved to the United States around about 9 years ago now. I grew up in Sydney, Australia, and I spent quite a bit of time in Melbourne, Australia, and some time in Europe as well. I went to school in Vienna. And all of those cities are very, very vibrant, lively cities. And when I first came to Cincinnati, I was a little alarmed by what I saw. I saw a lot of boarded up buildings in the downtown area, an incredible historic housing stock there. I felt that Cincinnatians all shared a sense of hope for the city, but it was struggling in many ways. And over the past few years that I've been here, I've become increasingly more and more excited to be a Cincinnatian resident and become more invested in perhaps where the future direction of this city might go, and drawing on some of my own experiences and my own research, looking at other cities and what helps them thrive. And so Michael and I got together and talked about ways in which we could bring people to the city who've been part of other think tanks, part of other really exciting initiatives in helping urban growth and sustainable development in other parts of the world, here to Cincinnati to talk about their experiences and also then share them with the broader Cincinnati community.
And talk about why you held it in Cincinnati, Michael.
Well, as Adrian said, we've both been here for about 7 years, and this is a city that we've both been fascinated with. We're learning a lot from our experiences traveling and living in other places around the world and looking at the opportunities here. We've also, as she said, heard some amazing people speak, and we thought that bringing them here would potentially provoke some exciting discussions. And we had some folks come from the city who are potential change makers in the city to discuss the ideas that were presented there. And we wanted everyone in the audience to be part of an ongoing discussion about the future of our city.
But this was a symposium that looked at things globally and locally, didn't it?
That's right. And it very much, I mean, it was kick-started by Tom Fisher, who is the Dean of Architecture at the University of Minnesota, Minneapolis. And he started with this nice big perspective, looking at the current situation of the world vis-a-vis, you know, rapid urbanization, climate change, and so on and so forth. And that first sort of series of speakers, and they were sort of run like TED-style talks, so we kept it very sort of lively, fast-paced, one clear idea so that the audience would sort of remain on their toes. We then would have a round table with that first group, and so these were sort of the bigger, larger social, economic, and environmental problems that cities all share in common in many ways for the first round of panelists. And then the second round of panelists was moving further and further down into the more micro scale, I would say, is how we sort of organized that, and looking at specific issues that certain cities share.
So you had a wide array of speakers and a lot of different perspectives then on this issue.
That's
right. Absolutely. There was, as you mentioned, both global and local perspectives. We had people who'd been working all over the world. One speaker was Chris Lukeman, the director of Global Foresight and Innovation for Arup Engineers, based across the world. And he spends 2 to 3 weeks of each month traveling around the world and seeing change and helping others develop change in cities around the world. And he brought an amazing perspective, and especially because he's from Cincinnati. And so that was fascinating to have him back here and have him be part of that discussion. And then we had people from universities and other parts of the globe who could visit the city and provide their perspective, both on their experience and what they saw here. And then the day was ended by a panel that was moderated by Eric Ovner of the Hale Foundation, who chose some fantastic people who were from the city to discuss how these ideas are relevant for us Cincinnatians.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. You can also email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. The ideas that presented, were they real-life things that can happen now, or were these more theoretical-type things?
I think we had a mixture of both, and I think it was really important to try and put our current situation into a broader context. For example, as we all know, the world is rapidly urbanizing. More than half of the world's population now lives in urban areas, and that's set to increase quite dramatically, so that by 2050, the United Nations is predicting that we're going to have 67% of our world population living in urban areas. But most of that growth is actually going to take place in low-income and middle-income countries. High-income countries like the United States, we're going to see most of that population distributing throughout smaller urban areas. So instead of, you know, sometimes there's a sort of generalization that we're going to have this growth in, say, megacities of people, more than 10 million people. But in actual fact, the numbers around that suggest that we're only going to have 13% of the world's population living in megacities by 2025. The rest of us are going to be in mid-sized cities. So cities like Cincinnati, I think, have a really interesting opportunity when you kind of place the city within that scenario. What does that mean for us? And what does it mean when we have an increase in migration? Like, there's also the estimated increase of environmental refugees the world over, and that's not just sort of refugees within national boundaries, but across national boundaries. And how does that impact mid-sized cities throughout the United States when we start having a different influx of migratory patterns? And Alex Stepik was talking a lot about migration between sort of Cuba and Miami. So that kind of brought an interesting perspective on that, and how that kind of created changes within the political spectrum within Miami, which then plays out in terms of development and planning and so on and so forth. So I think those sort of larger big picture issues and situating Cincinnati within that discourse was really, really enlightening, informative, but also really exciting for people that were in the audience. People were really revved up by it.
I don't think that any of the ideas were completely out of the realm of reality for us. I mean, we had people like Dr. Yuma Barros, who is Brazilian and works with communities in Brazil who are looking to develop visions for their future. And she's had meetings with thousands of people collecting together to come up with a shared vision, something that might seem impossible. But she presented a real-life example of this for us. And so I think whether they were talking about social issues, economic issues, political issues, design issues, transportation, there was relevance and reality to all of them in their context.
Yeah, and I think one of the overriding messages that came out was this idea of the importance of creating inclusive cities, paradigms that will generate inclusivity, will generate diversity, whether that's, you know, social diversity or economic diversity as well, but also cities that are fun places to be in, you know, where you're excited to go out and enjoy your city, to enjoy the public spaces that it has on offer, and to feel stimulated by that. And I think that was also really a fun part of it.
And absolutely. And then another thing that really came out across the board was the importance of innovation and recognizing how much incredible innovation exists within our city, between our corporations and our universities.
Very true.
And so harnessing that and really supporting that and putting that to work is definitely one of the keys that we saw come across in many of the speakers' presentations.
And one other thing that I thought was really intriguing for me, because I've always been a little confused by some of the boundaries that that exist in an American context. Like you've got your urban core, but then Norwood's its own thing in many ways, and right. And then you've got the suburbs, and there's different political entities with these. And so these boundaries always seemed really artificial to me.
And the boundaries are always changing because what used to be the suburbs is now part of the city, and the suburbs are farther out. So everything's always expanding and changing over time.
Exactly.
Yeah. 513-419-7100. Let's talk to Christian from Clifton Heights. Good afternoon, Christian.
Good morning, all. Thanks for taking my call.
Very welcome.
I wish I had been able to attend the symposium, but I this really speaks to the core of everything that I both love and also frustrates me about living in the Cincinnati area. Being at the top of Clifton Heights, I see a mix of all walks of life, lower income, college students, homeowners, and the like. And I really feel like accessibility, a two-pronged approach to accessibility is a way that we can bring all those walks of life together and also attract new talent by becoming excited about our city in a way that we are able to move around it, being ambassadors for bringing new talent as well as visitors or former Cincinnatians that left and maybe haven't returned for a variety of reasons. And that includes transit and making it accessible to all, making it efficient, and also by way of making the city more accessible, we attract entrepreneurs and key business people that may not have seen a future in Cincinnati because they have to navigate a lot of different restrictions related to parking and open space requirements and the like. I do really feel that an accessible city is a resilient city, and there's a lot of great energy happening in Cincinnati, and I love to see it continue.
Thank you for your comment, Christian.
It's interesting you mentioned a resilient city. I think that was one of, Christian, one of the overriding messages that kept recurring throughout the day, this issue around creating resiliency and also accessibility, having a more nuanced understanding of what accessibility means, you know, accessibility to equal educational opportunities, accessibility to really good healthcare, accessibility to public transportation that's efficient, reliable and permanent. And I think in many ways, we talk of an urban advantage, and an urban advantage means all of those things, yeah, that we can have economic opportunities and we can have healthcare, we can have education, but it's not always something that's equally shared by everybody, and that's certainly something we have to work towards.
Most of the cities that we all study around the world and admire have really focus on this, on a more equal distribution of accessibility. You also mentioned retention. Basically, how do we keep our talented, skilled, innovative thinkers in Cincinnati? And I think this is such an important question for us. We have great institutions here, we have great corporations, but there needs to be more of a focus on keeping those people here, keeping them engaged, supported, making them a rich part of our community.
Yeah, I mean, in the decade in the lead up to 2003, Cincinnati lost 20,000 jobs, right? Now, that doesn't go unnoticed, for example. And so attracting a creative entrepreneurial group, I think, is really important piece of the puzzle here. But, not just necessarily relying on, the corporate sector, the large established organizations, but where can we kind of foster young talent and bring them back to the city and help them grow and to become part of this place, yeah.
There's a number of incubators that are out there now and others in discussion to really provide support at all levels for individuals and small groups that are trying to do good work here in the city. So I'm very excited to see those things at play.
And developing skill sets of people so that, you know, if you've had people who've been unemployed, for a long period of time, that there are options available to them to sort of get their skill sets up to par to actually re-enter the workforce and be part of that new sort of young entrepreneurial class.
Was one of the ideas of the forum to take a lofty, big issue and make it more approachable?
I think that You know, there was many different goals for the symposium, certainly. We really wanted to provoke a conversation, and we wanted to do that at many levels, certainly a lofty goal sort of level, as well as a real tangible level. And so we were trying to, we provided opportunities for people to ask questions there, but we're also really trying to provoke opportunities for people to continue that discussion in their own communities, at their jobs, and wherever. We're also going to be posting all the videos at our website, futurecitiesLF.com, so that people can continue to hopefully engage those ideas.
And I think, you know, just to add to that, as you move forward, we're all moving forward into the future, and there's a whole variety of futures available to us, right? And there's a mixture of idealism always if you want to create something new. But it's really important that that's also grounded in a deep sense of realism of what currently exists and what to do with that. And there's a sort of tool set that comes with that. So there's the imagination side of the puzzle, and then there's your toolbox. And you bring those two things together, and that's what we wanted to do with the symposium.
In terms of livability, how is Cincinnati doing?
I think that I haven't looked at recent livability indexes, but certainly for families, this is always considered to be a very livable city. If you have children, there's a lot of good school opportunities. We have an amazing healthcare system here. There's a lot of great opportunities, but I think for people in certain economic classes, this can be a very challenging city. I think that the public transportation system it keeps people from being able to get to jobs that they might be able to, where they could be employed. I think we have certain disparities that exist economically, socially across the city that create some real issues for us. So it sort of depends on where you are in the city.
Yeah, and a lot of that boils down to kind of economic stratification,
right.
You know. I mean, in 2008, one in four Cincinnatians was living below the poverty line. And now the hard statistic is that it's now one in three. And then when you look to children, that's just over 50% of Cincinnatian children are living in poverty. And, you know, and then with African Americans, they're bearing the brunt of the burden. It's 46% of Cincinnati African Americans are living below the poverty line. And if you think that the poverty line, if you take into consideration the poverty line in America at the moment in 2012, is for a family of four to earn $23,050 a year, right? That's nothing. How do people survive on that?
No
and
idea.
Still be able to live healthy lives, have access to healthy, affordable food? You know, food deserts are another issue. Michael works on that quite a bit. Access to reasonable health coverage and educational opportunities. So we've got disparities in the city. So it's livable for some, but not necessarily for others.
Did the speakers who were from outside Cincinnati, did they have a chance to look around Cincinnati and tell you what they thought of the city?
Some of them, well, like Chris, who happened to be from Cincinnati and was coming back, we had one who lives here now but didn't previously. The others had some time. Some of them had been here previously, and they did have a chance to spend some time downtown the day before the event. And there was a lot of discussion amongst the speakers and others before the event to make sure they had some sense of the issues that Cincinnati faces. So I would say that all of them had some level of knowledge about this city specifically, but we also really wanted them to bring their perspective on the cities that they've been working in and researching. So that's why we made sure to have the panel later in the day that included local Cincinnatians who were involved in change making here to discuss their ideas and how they apply in the city.
And we've got about a minute left in our conversation here. Chaz from Over the Rhine is joining us now. Chaz, about 1 minute left. What's your comment or your question?
Cool. Hi, Michael. Hi, Adrian. How are you guys?
Hi, Chaz.
Good. Hi.
Hey, sorry I couldn't make it. I was in Vermont this weekend, last weekend, but I was wondering what was done or talked about to engage people who aren't involved in placemaking and engage people who are the users. You know, the streetcar hasn't been articulated the best, the benefits to most people in Cincinnati, obviously, after this election. So how do we engage people who aren't involved in placemaking to talk about issues of making better places for people to live?
Okay, Chaz, thank you for your question.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion at the event about a think tank that would come together, some of the speakers as well as others who are interested in this conversation, to really try to articulate a vision that represents the city as a whole and start to communicate with communities around the city and with our local government about that. But on a local level, we're really looking to the people who were there to help provoke discussion and build on these ideas, get more input, and sort of take off on their own with these ideas.
Yeah, the think tank was a very popular idea, I think, by the end of the day. And we're really going to try to work hard to keep the momentum going and to do something like that so that the think tank could operate also like as an advisory group to bring some of the people back in that were here and then, you know, offer their thoughts to government entities or business entities or local community groups on, you know, ways forward.
Adrian and Michael, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.